Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Our next guest is the frontman for the southern rock band who have built a huge following by touring relentlessly, selling out shows across the US and Europe. His name is Charlie Starr. The band is Blackberry Smoke. Their latest EP, Live from Capricorn Sound Studios, featuring covers of classic songs by the Allman Brothers, the Marshall Tucker Band, Wit Willie and Little Richard, is out now. Please welcome Blackberry Smoke frontman and longtime friend of the show, Charlie Starr.
Hey, Charlie, how are you this morning, brother?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you, Johnny?
You know, cooped up, man. Getting ready to bust out of this place and get on the motorcycle this weekend and go do a little riding.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah? Well, perfect. Even better, though, now I get to take a new soundtrack with me and road test it. So I'm getting ready to listen to the rest of Live from Capricorn Sound Studios.
Oh, fantastic, man. Well, I hope you enjoy it. It was definitely fun to put together.
Well, dude, you know, we were talking about it earlier, and it kind of dawned on me that what it is songs you're familiar with, done by a band you love, is purely comfort. It's just wonderfully, beautifully comforting.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we went in there. There was just an afternoon down at Capricorn Studios in Macon, which is hallowed ground where we come from, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't intend on recording a project. We went down to film some, to capture some video of us just playing live in the studio to promote a tour. And we decided to record some Capricorn songs, you know, some Allman Brothers songs and Marshall Tucker Band songs and Wet Willie songs. And Jimmy Hall came down and sang with us, and Marcus Henderson, who is an old friend, and he's been playing with the Marshall Tucker Band for years, playing flute and keys. He came down, and our friends the Black Bettys from Atlanta came. And so we played six songs, and I don't know, they just sounded good. And we thought, well, here we are sitting at home with nothing to do. We might as well share this with our friends.
Isn't it funny that you needed video to promote a tour upcoming? So you're down there in the studios doing that, but you still love this music so much and still love playing so much that a day of filming turns into a day of recording because that's just what you like to do best. That's not what everybody does with their job. No, not many people love their job so much that it never stops being fun.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. You know, and going down there, I remember thinking, because I hate video stuff, you know, you've got to try to look good. And, but then when I was listening back, like we started to play and it was all done live, no overdubs and no, you know, it was just, that was the idea, was to capture however many people, 7 or 8, 9 people playing in a room. And that was kind of, you know, what the summer tour was going to consist of, is these bands that we were taking with us. We would all play our shows and then we would get up at the end and do all this stuff, you know, play all these Southern songs. And Jimmy was going to come to some shows, and J-Mo from the Allman Brothers Band, and so that's what we were going to do. But you know, going down, like, I got to get dressed up and all this stuff.
Right.
And then, but when I heard it, we all, you know, played a song and went in, and it was like, this sounds fantastic. And that's in large part thanks to the people working with us. You know, Tom Tapley is a great engineer, and the people down at Capricorn, they've got it. I don't think they changed much. You know, they renovated the studio and the building, and they wanted to leave it as closely as they could to the way it was when they left it.
Yeah.
You know? And there's some stories about Capricorn Studios. You know, there's not much in Macon, Georgia. It's kind of a sleepy little Georgia town. But thanks to the Allman Brothers and Wet Willie and those bands, they turned that into a little hippie haven. And there's lots of great stories about how the console had a section taken out and just a mirror put down there.
Yeah, so you can get a real good up-close look at yourself.
You know, just to look at yourself, check your hair once in a while during the session. Make sure.
Yeah. But there's certain things about those studios, isn't there? Because especially when you're a music super nerd, like all of us are, you know where an album you loved was recorded, which means now you're also a musician. You know how it was recorded. You walk in. I had this, not obviously I'm not a musician, but the similar experience going to Hitsville, USA last year in Detroit, and walking into those Motown studios and having them lay out the way it started with a loan from your own family, and then, you know, hitting the end of it in the actual studio where all of those Motown songs, all, you know, so many of them. And then there's a hole in the floor by the control panel where they're mixing it. And it's from him tapping his foot. And it's through the first, second, and third layer. It's every bit of an inch deep. And it's in the same spot from toe tapping. And you get choked up about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, those records, like Motown and Stax and Sun Records in Memphis and Capricorn and Studio One in Atlanta where Skinner's recorded and all these places. And if you go back and if you dissect that music, and we're working on a brand new Blackberry Smoke album throughout this pandemic and working with Dave Cobb, this great producer. He's an old Atlanta guy. He's in Nashville now, but he kind of reminded me, which, you know this as a musician, but sometimes it takes somebody, you know, to sort of bring it back to your attention. But he makes really organic albums, and they're raw, and there's no, it's not, you know, you record the tape, and there's no click track, and there's nothing that could make music sound homogenized or digital, you know?
Right.
And we were talking about it, and he pulled up, like, "I've Been Loving You Too Long" by Otis Redding, and put it on, you know, just held his phone up and was like, "Listen to that. Nobody's playing together. It's like, so it's in the moment and it's passion and none of it is perfection."
Right.
So all that music, if you really take it apart now, it's like, well, that wasn't perfect. That was human. And you felt it because it was so passionate. It was humans playing music and it wasn't quantized or digitized or perfectly set to a click.
Yeah.
You know, if you listen to Honky Tonk Women, by the time they get to the end of that song, it's like they're playing a different song. It's so fast.
We forget about that because the way it was recorded back in the day. Now with this new digital, they literally strove for perfection and took the soul and the heart out of so much music because they're like, they can just cut a drum beat in digitally and it's in there, like, it's imperfect. This is how many beats a minute it's going to have. And you're right. It loses its momentum. It loses its up and down, its crescendos. The roller coaster gets stomped on.
Yeah. And if you think about it, like, down through the years, like, you obviously music will be popular, and these bands, like, I heard you mention Nickelback a minute ago, and bands like that they land on this formula and it works, and so they work that formula. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I don't know if you remember, well, sure you do, but that band Jet came along from Australia.
Great band.
That really good, just very organic record, and it exploded and is all over the place because people yearn for that. I think they do. They hear something like that and it's like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, I've been used to this digital stuff. I've been spoon-fed, and now here's this real thing.
And there's nothing wrong with any of those bands. By the way, you know, when I use them as examples, for anybody listening who likes them, I got Nickelback records. I like those guys. I like the band. But in my heart, it's not what excites me. It's just, that's fun music. That goes in this category. And then there's music you deeply fall in love with. And, you know, that's what you strive for. You look, Blackberry, you know, and I'll explain this to you guys listening. Blackberry came on, and they'd been around a long time. Every musician had loved them and taken them on tour, from Skinner to ZZ Top. They go to Nashville. They're the ones everybody's watching, the Untouchables, and they're trying so hard to take the very thing that made Blackberry great out of them and turn them into this corporate country music machine. And you, that push-pull, and you could just see, man, by the time that next album came out, lyrically, it wasn't hard to figure out who won that fight.
Yeah. Yeah, some places when you don't belong, you just don't belong.
That's it.
Get in where you fit in, I guess they say.
Yeah.
But yeah, no offense to anybody who records digital music. I didn't mean to go on a rant.
No, you didn't. No. Yeah. I always try to explain it to the listeners because, you know, look, not everybody loves music the way I do or you do or Nikki does, and they don't find the same solace in it. So it seems odd when you get down to the certain nuances. But, man, that's how I grew up. That's the thing that I wouldn't say it saved me. I wasn't going to jump off a building, but I'll tell you, it was my friend. And one of the reasons that I became such a Smoke fan is I got turned on to Bad Luck, and we would go up to Sturgis in those rickety RVs, and it was a 12-hour run. The thing wouldn't go more than 60 miles an hour. But we all fell in love with this record. There'd be nine of us in there with that terrible stereo system singing along, and it became the anthem for Sturgis. We'd roll that thing three times in a row, and it felt like you were 18 years old again, taking a road trip to nowhere. And it just hit us all in the same spot, and it became a thing for us. And then, you know, time went on. We all became friends, and here we are today with a brand-new release from Capricorn.
Yeah, man. Full circle.
Yeah, it's nice.
It is nice. I wish I was able to see you guys.
Yeah, I wish. Because can you imagine what the shows are going to be like? And that's what you got to use to hold yourself over, Charlie, is, man, when those shows happen, it's going to be explosive. I mean, there's going to be tears and cheers and just, it's going to be arms in the air, like all that emotion pent up. And you got to go to a Blackberry show to know why I'm telling you guys this, you listeners. It's 8 to 80 bikers, convicts, Christians, like families, kids. It's the happiest show you'll ever be at. It, without a doubt, the most joyous show I ever go to.
Right. Snake Handlers.
Yes. But isn't it weird the way this divisive world in a Blackberry Smoke show never seems to be divisive? There's every walk of life in there, and everybody seems to have a smile on their face.
Well, that's the goal. We definitely, you know, we try not to make music that makes people mad.
I'll add on. that Lawrence show we went to, there were more please, thank yous, excuse me's of people being polite and just getting along. Everybody wanted to just have a good time.
Right.
And that was the vibe from the beginning to the end of that show.
It's
I love that.
Yeah.
Love that. John Prine. My wife, I was on the road, and she went to see John Prine and Levon Helm in Atlanta. I missed it. What a great show to see. But she said they both were, and at this point, they were both old men, you know, but they would totally, like, lean down. She said Levon Helm leaned down to the front row. His drums were set up kind of on the front of the back line, and he leaned down. She was front row, and he leaned down and said, "Can y'all hear everything okay? Is everybody comfortable?"
Oh.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. No, we went to the cannery to honor the president of Stax Records years ago, and the Bar K's played, and another version of Booker T and the MGs, but the Bar K's played, and it would bring tears to your eyes. It was so special to see those guys. Like, it was just, it's just a once in a lifetime moment, man. I mean, truly beautiful.
Yeah, man. That's the music, you know. I went to see Buddy Guy in Solana Beach, California. We had a night off. This is a couple of years ago. And there's a great venue there that everybody plays called the Belly Up. It's right on the beach, and it's beautiful. It's not very big, but the Stones played there for kind of just a few years ago, like a top secret
nice.
Show. I heard that it was a favor for a friend of theirs who was ill. We got there and we had a night off, and Buddy Guy was playing. So we decided, let's go see Buddy Guy. So we went down, and he comes out, and I would assume that he was in his mid-80s right at that time. I think this was 2 years ago. He comes out, and if you just standing there looking at him, I'm just like, he doesn't look older than 60. He looks great. He had overalls on, and he had his his polka dotted guitar, you know, his Strad. It's right. loud. Oh, it was great. As a guitar player, I'm just like, yes! It's just jacked. And, you know, when it first hits you, you're like, oh, whoa, yeah, he is loud. But then you get, you know, you get kind of used to it, and he's playing, and, you know, he's a legend and just an icon. And then he started cussing, and he started telling, like, the dirtiest jokes you can even imagine. And I thought, oh, man, I'm 45 years old. I'm actually blushing.
Ah, see, those are the things. There's two kinds of musicians in this world. There's guys like Charlie who love music and love players, and they give out love all the time. They talk about the things and how great others are. And there's another weird breed of musician that can't say a nice thing about another musician to save their lives. And there's right. they're the in my eyes, I've always noticed that they're the never going to be greats and probably not going to be remembered category. It's
bless their hearts.
Yeah, bless that's it. Bless their hearts. But you know, man, there's those guys like you'll say, don't you love this? And they're like, And I'm like, all right, it's been nice meeting you. I'm going to go over here and just do something else.
They act like they're the only musician. Yeah. Others don't exist.
Yeah, it's, look, BlackBerry, I can't wait for them and you guys to all get out on the road again. Everybody, check out this new offering. It is it's a really cool idea. Capricorn Studios was an incredibly important one. Like, on the level of a Bull Shoals or Muscle Shoals.
Yeah.
You know, it's... There's certain studios that made certain sounds, the Almonds, and you got to record with Greg before he passed away, man. Free on the Wing.
What a thing, unbelievable. That you know, I was looking at it, as far as the Capricorn thing the other day. We didn't have a whole lot of time to prepare, so we recorded six songs, and we're thinking about doing a quick rundown of what we should do, and anyway. Midnight Rider will probably not be the Allman Brothers song that you would choose because it's an iconic song, but it's obviously been done a lot, you know. But the story is that the first time it was ever recorded was in that room at Capricorn. It wasn't recorded there for the second album, the Allman Brothers. It was done, I think, in California. But the first, when Greg initially wrote it, and with Kim Payne, they broke into the studio to record the demo because Greg didn't want to forget it. So they broke in the back. So that's why we did that. I know, you know, I read somewhere it was like that. Yeah. Anyway, what I'm saying
Dude,
is
I love him.
That's why we did Midnight Rider.
I couldn't love you more, brother. Listen, it's you're the real, man. You are the real, as is everybody in your band. And everybody's doing well?
Yeah, everybody's fine. We're going crazy. We've been having, you know, like Zoom calls and things like that, and everybody's growing a beard and planting a garden and taking care of their wives and kids. And here at my house, we got a brand new puppy, which is an adventure. And yeah, you know,
get a puppy. They said it'll be fun. They said
exactly. I had completely forgotten that having a puppy is just like having a baby.
Right. Soon enough, we will see each other, man.
Yeah, man, I can't wait.
All right. I love you, brother. Tell everybody I said hey, and again, we'll catch up very soon.
I love you, too. You guys take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.